Hello, and welcome to Tomorrow's Heroes Today, Episode 8, Family Feud, brought to you by your substitute podcasters from the future. Today we'll be exploring Legion of Superheroes Volume 5, Issue 8. The Legion of Substitute podcasters originally covered this issue back in Episode 126 in March 2011. I'm Brent, and this week I've been trying to read 21st Century Comics, but it's been a little bit noisy because I live in Melbourne, and this week is Grand Prix week. So when I've been able to concentrate a little bit, hopefully you don't hear the 21st Century petrol guzzlers in the background while we're recording. But I've been reading, Derek, something that I picked up in Spain back in on my holiday in at the beginning of the year. And this is called Especial Verano, Legión de Superhéroes, and it's which translates to Summer Special, Join the Legion of Superheroes. And I've really enjoyed reading an edition that's been published in another country. I actually speak Spanish, and this is published by what's called Ediciones Cinco, which is their publishing house. And it was a lot of fun because they pulled together from three different comics. It's got the, you might remember from Legion of Superheroes number 17 back in the Baxters, there's one with Sunboy pointing at the screen and saying, join the Legion of Superheroes.
Yes.
So that's the cover. And it's a 64-page color comic. Originally worth 240 pesetas, but I picked it up for a lovely €3, which was a pretty good price by Australian standards. And it opens up with it's actually a mix. It's mixed in issue 14, 17, and 20. And it's brought in from issue 20, I think it is. No, from issue 17, it's brought in the character bios. And this is one of the things I found really interesting because it's got a Greg LaRocque shot of each of the Legion characters, but then they've put in their Spanish names. And I thought it might be fun to just share those with you.
Oh, please do.
So they call Dream Girl, they call her Dream. Shadow Lass, they call Sombra. Starboy they call Astro. Sunboy they call Solar. Shrinking Violet they call Violet. Dawnstar they call Estrella de Alba. Block is called Block. Ultra Boy is Ultra Boy. I know. I love the fact that he doesn't even get Joven Ultra.
Doesn't even write a Spanish name.
I know. They do call him Jonar as well. And then Element Lad's called Elemento, Brainiac 5, Brainiac 5. Lightning Lass is called Relámpago, which means lightning in Spanish. Bruja Blanca is White Witch. Phantom Girl is Fantasma. Invisible Kid 2 is just Invisible Kid 2. Timberwolf they call Lobo Gris, which means grey wolf. Wildfire translates directly to Fuego Salvaje. Chameleon is Chameleon, or Camaleon actually, and Colossal Boy is Colosso. So I thought that was a lot of fun to see that, how they renamed them. And they are quite catchy in Spanish, I would say. And this book also has all the Mission Monitor Board symbols with all those names on there. There are a couple of others in that, which didn't get the feature pages. Matter Eater Lad is called Devorador. Chlorophyll Kid is Chlorophyll. I like Stone Boy. Stone Boy's Petrio, which is, means petrified. I thought that was kind of funny. Fire Lad is Fuego. Light Lass is Liviana. So yeah, a bit of fun. I kind of had fun with this and just really enjoyed it. And obviously enjoyed the stories as well. So it had the Legion Recruits one where Sensor Girl joins. It had the aforementioned Sunboy cover story. And it also had a backup story from Legion number 20, which was a Bruja Blanca and Dream story. So that was kind of fun, a Keith Giffen, Mike DiCarlo story with Levitz writing. A bit of fun, comedic Levitz and Giffen. So a lot of fun reading in Spanish for me. Fun poking around in comic stores in Spain. And I think one of the things they do that, you know, would be great to see more of in English is they collect old editions and they bind them up into collections. So you can pick up, you know, six or seven old issues sort of stuck together and rebound, sort of like a trade paperback, but they actually use the original comics. So they're a bit like the facsimiles, I guess, but they're actually just bundling up old comics. So bit of fun.
Cool, very cool.
And what have you been reading?
Hi, everybody. I'm Derek, and this week I have been reading the Sandman Universe Hellblazer series that came out in 2020, written by Simon Spurrier, with a rotating cast of artists. So if you've not read this, it goes back to the Books of Magic miniseries that came out in 1990.
Oh, I love that series.
Yeah.
Big fan.
The Trenchcoat Brigade are taking young Tim Hunter on around the DC universe.
Including one trip to the 31st century, Derek.
Indeed they did.
Yes.
But there is one scene where they show some not very far in Tim's future where he is battling John Constantine because Tim has gone bad.
That's right.
And this series is that John Constantine who is defeated by bad Tim Hunter and is cast out of that universe, whatever which one it is, into the Sandman universe imprint.
Okay.
And he wakes up. Yeah, he wakes up back in the mental institution where he was imprisoned, but it is now 2020. And so he's been gone for 10 years or so. And he's trying to adjust to modern-day London, which doesn't go well when he gets thrown out of a hipster bar for telling some off-colour jokes. but there's a very nice two-issue story arc where he meets up with the man who has taken his place in protecting London from the incursions from the mystic world, who is also a hipster who goes by the name of Tommy Willowtree, who's all into Zen meditation and, you know, ethically sourced food and making sure that the toilet is eco-friendly and, you know, not wasting any of this. And, of course, that gets on John Constantine's wick no end. Yeah.
Look, I really like the John Constantine. I have heard debates whether it's Constantine or Constantine, but let's go Constantine. I really like this character. I think it was one of the ones they adapted really, really well to television. I think I really enjoyed the TV series, not a huge fan of the movie. I think on TV, it's like he just stepped off the page, and then bringing him into the Legends of Tomorrow TV series as well, I thought was just a whole lot of fun and great to see all these properties linking, which was really nice. It's a pity Tim Hunter never made it onto Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes, although I don't know if there was a Dead Boys TV series in production. I don't know if it still is.
I have seen the shorts.
Dead Boy Detective. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe Tim might make an appearance in that. But I like the fact that DC committed to Matt Ryan, and, you know, his one series TV show wasn't that great, but let's use him in the Arrowverse. Let's use him as the voice of Constantine in the animated stuff. So good on Matt
really
Ryan.
Really nice to see that, isn't it? It's lots of fun, and you know, we've even seen crossovers between the the DC EU and the Arrowverse with the Flash TV show and Flash movie character crossing over. So who knows? Who knows? He might even make it into Gunn's DC universe. We may see him yet, which I would love if he just walked onto camera, actually.
Yep. Or Creature Commandos, that might be one where he could pop up.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we end up with a Justice League Dark at some point.
Yep.
It's very interesting. It'll be interesting to see where all this goes. I actually caught this morning Derek on YouTube, and I don't know how authentic it is, but it was a trailer for the Batgirl movie that never got made.
Oh, yeah.
Released, it did get made.
Yes, it did get made.
I must say, after having watched it, I'm kind of glad it didn't get released, if I'm honest.
Oh, okay.
It's that Batgirl that's got the high yellow boots, the lace-up boots.
Yep.
And let's just say she was playing a little bit like Kinetics was when I was reading on the other podcast the other day, and not quite sure I would have enjoyed that movie either. So maybe Warner Brothers executives made a good decision. It could be said. Derek, we're jumping into issue 8. I think it's worth just stopping and noting we're up to our 8th episode. I think I'm really enjoying reading the three-boot. I think I'm enjoying it more than I did at the time, to be honest.
I would agree. I have felt that there hasn't really been a dud issue yet. Everything's really chugging along quite well. There may be a couple of minor things that have cropped up, but they're only like terribly minor. You know, the one that I'm thinking of is when Cosmic Boy took Starboy to meet Princess Projector. And it gave the impression that she was, you know, spending all her time up in her little tower. Yet we know from the letter column that we had a couple of issues ago that she was down in the recreation room with Timberwolf.
Hmm.
So she's obviously known by the majority of the Legionnaires, but for some reason not by Starboy.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I guess, you know, could be when things were made too. Like, who knows when that was actually made, that rec room scene.
Yeah. But yeah, terribly, terribly minor quibble. You know, nothing that I'm going to go, not read the book for.
Maybe Praetor Lemnos has been playing with your memory, Derek, or something. You never know. Maybe it's an implanted memory. You know? He did say that he's been interfering in the legend. So could be possible. So it'll be interesting then, Derek, because this issue, issue 8, is actually drawn by a different artist. So we'll talk about that a bit as we go through, but let's see if it holds up to the standard we've expected so far. So it is Legion of Superheroes issue 8, Family Feud, and our floating heads today are, I think it's Ultra Boy, the first one. Am I right, or is it Invisible Kid?
I thought it was Invisible Kid.
Oh, let's go with Invisible Kid. Starboy, Cosmic Boy, and Projectra. And on the cover, we've got a giant colossal boy gripping Ultra Boy in his fist and snarling at him. Ultra Boy looks like he's straining in pain. We've got Dream Girl flying in to try and help out. And Cosmic Boy sort of gesturing from the ground, like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? And Shadow Lass and Brainy watching on. It's a terrific cover. I think the facial expression on Colossal Boy here reminded me a bit of a Kevin Maguire.
Oh, yeah.
Quality face, probably even better, I would say. I think Kitson's faces on this cover are amazing. He's really got Ultra Boy and Dream Girl's expression really clear. I think you can read this cover. I think it's you don't need any words or word balloons. Yeah, it's terrific. This issue, it says on the cover, is by Wade, Sharp and Rollins. So we open with a looks like a space cruiser in outer space, and a voice over the speaker says, "Welcome to the Legion of Superheroes. How'd you all like it so far?" And one of the young people in the ship says, "You took our money." Another one says, "You promised us you could get us in." "Never trust a Venadarian, lads, and keep your dreams to yourselves. You are never more than cargo. You're more in cargo time." I make good money selling Legion wannabes to slave markets. But I ain't doing that with you. And then another one.
He talks like a pirate.
He does a bit. Can't you see Gamorix here? I said, say hello, Gamorix. Gamorix heard that an unhappy client tipped off the science beliefs and they're heading even now to intercept this ship. I can't have them finding you now, can I? Fleas. I think he's speaking with a Scottish accent, actually, Derek. I might go a bit Scot here if I can.
Go for it.
No criticisms, please. Gamorix, open the airlock. Please. Hey, please, says Gamorix. I don't think Gamorix gets many pleases. And one of the youngsters sort of stands up in front of him with his hands on his hips and says, I demand a refund. I'm getting chipped. Funny flea. Squish flea, says Gamorix. And suddenly the young man's shirt rips and he seems to be getting taller. And he says, see, I'm already in the Legion. And it is Colossal Boy. And he swings a punch at Gamorix and flattens him with a wham. And our other pirate, what's his name? The Venadarian comes in and says, he's sort of running for the door and another Legionnaire sort of runs in with a Legionnaire T-shirt and his cap on backwards and he says, you have lousy intel, Captain Fear. It's not the science police you have to be scared of. It's undercover Legionnaires. Too late on the flush button as I've turned it into magnesium dust. And Element Lad appears and Captain Fear says, sweet Christar, you're a Tromian. And the Tromian says, then you know how this works. I can transmute elements for 60 seconds with a touch. For instance, I can turn the calcium in your teeth to sulfur. No, no. Don't worry, says Element Lad. It'll only hurt for a minute. And he goes ahead anyway. And Colossal Boy says, better have a drink. You're not a nice man. And Element Lad says, I hate pirates. And this is
nice callback there.
It is. It's our splash page. Is that something he originally said, Derek? Is that why you're saying it's a callback?
No, Roxas. Roxas was a bit of a pirate.
Oh yes, of course. Of course. Because didn't the Legion also have a run in with pirates?
I'm sure they did.
One of the adventure comics. Not my area of expertise, the adventure era.
I'm sure it was in between Escaped Zoo Animals.
Yes, I think you're right. We need to take another drink for the Escape Zoo Animals there, Derek. So on our splash page, we've got our little blurb and it says, ours is an age of peace and tranquility. By the dawn of the 31st century, an Earth-based network of worlds has created a rigidly mannered serenity throughout the cosmos, a near utopia. All we, our parents and their parents have ever known is security, stability and order. We're so sick of it, we could scream. And this issue is brought to us by Mark Wade, writer, Kevin Sharp, guest penciler, Prentice Rollins, guest inker, Snowcone, colorist, Nick J. Napolitano, letterer, Harvey Richards, assistant editor, and Stephen Wacker, editor. And it's interesting to note we've also got a new colorist there for this issue, which will be interesting because I've commented in the past on how much we've enjoyed the coloring. On our shadowy figures this time, we've got different illustrations by the new illustrator. So we've got Ultra Boy, Cosmic Boy looking very stern. We've got Brainiac 5, who actually looks a bit more relaxed to me here. Sun Boy and Invisible Kid, who's looking a little bit worried. And we cross to Legion headquarters and voice comes from inside. Cos did what? And we see Brainiac 5's hands working on a device. And Lightlass says, apparently he forced his way into Brainiac 5's lab while Brainy was off-world. Brainy took one look around, sealed the door with a force field, and all Starboy and I have heard from inside for the last 20 minutes is the sound of things smashing. And the thing that Brainiac was picking up crashes against a wall. And Starboy says, Brainy must be homicidal or Cosmic Boy is suicidal or both. What was Cos looking for? Does he even have the right to go inside without permission? And we remember that scene from last issue that a group of the Legionnaire had gone inside with Coz into Brady's lab. And Triplicate Girl's sort of looking on, looking stunned, but wasn't she there, Derek? I feel like she was in there as well.
She was.
Yes. So,
yes.
She's,
yes, there are a few odd things that she says this issue that we might pick up on.
Yeah, okay. So Cosmic Boy walks in and he says, whose permission do I need? Starboy, yours? No, I was just wondering, he says. And Lightlice says, he didn't mean any disrespect, Coz, but, well, it's not exactly the kind of behaviour that alleviates tension between you and Brainy. Coz moves up to the force field. Neither is talking about us behind our backs. Stand away. Triplicate Girl says, you're tearing through his force field? You can do that? The Cosmic Boy says, it's another electromagnetic wave. And the force field parts in front of him. Coz, not to question you, says Lightlass, but are you sure you want to go in there right now? Brainy's on a rampage. And Coz says, that's my problem. Go and find some other sideshow. And he forces his way through the force field. Brainiac. And Brainy's sitting at a monitor screen. There's broken screens and refuse all over the floor, and he's looking at a picture of the flight ring. Some tantrum, says Cosmic Boy. We left everything the way we found it, and this is not how we found it. I want to make sure we're clear on that much. You didn't hurt yourself, did you? I'm fine, says Brainy. Cosmic Boy says, I got fed up with the way you keep secrets from your teammates, Brainy. It's unacceptable, and it's not going to help unify anything or anyone. And with war on the horizon, unity is our number one priority. He stands there with his arms crossed behind Brainy, and Brainy scowls. Brainy, are you listening? You even here? Brainy replies, I'm fine. Did you find what you were looking for? Cosmic Boy says, well, that depends what comes out of this. From here on out, I want total communication between all Legionnaires at all times. Brainy presses a button on the console. Tack. Fine, says Brainy. Cosmic Boy turns to leave.
Yeah, we can tell Brainy's in a bad mood because he's saying very, very little.
Very little, yep. Not engaging. No eye contact either. All looking at the screen. United Planets Earth Headquarters. Are you even listening to me? We were on the battlefield. We've seen the threat up close. Praetor Lemnos and Terra Firma are far bigger threat than you realise. And Imra puts a hand on Garth, who's talking, and thinks, Garth, calm yourself. And the science police officer behind the desk says, I assume the telepath is telling you that you're ranting, son, and if so, she's right. And you've overstayed your welcome. Good day. And Dream Girl, who's standing nearby, says, we'll leave in the next 85 seconds, sir, but we need to be heard. My name is Dream Girl, and I'm a precog. I was the first to identify Lemnos as a major manipulator behind the coming war. Can't help you, says the science police officer. Never heard of Lemnos. And Saturn Girl thinks, that's the danger. That's how he operates. He has total command over sentient memory and electronic recording. He sets opportunities in motion and then makes those involved, even the highest officers of government and commerce, forget that he even exists. Lemnos is quite literally the man who wasn't there. And the science police officer says, get a security office escort up here, and he touches his communicator. Saturn Girl, is it? You've seen this ghost, Saturn Girl. Is that what I'm understanding? Saturn Girl puts her hands on her hips. He isn't a ghost. You aren't taking me seriously, she thinks. Yes, and I've seen him. And because I've been able to screen the other Legionnaires against his power, we can all see him, but you can't. How convenient, he says. While you're playing pretend, we adults are watching the very real collapse of the United Planets against an alien invasion, not a ghost. Worlds are seceding from the UP right and left. The aliens destroyed planet Orando, putting our economy in freefall. They threatened Kolu, endangering the very galactic data systems. Which we warned you would happen and which we stopped, says Lightning Lad. "That's not how we heard it," says the officer. Dreamgirl says, "And don't you think Lemnos had anything to do with that, sir? We don't know who he is or why he wants the war. Saturn Girl needs to make a telepathic scan of all UP officers to learn who might know more than they can tell." And in come the Stormtrooper Science Police officers, the SWAT team. "No, officers, arrest these children." "What?" says Lightning Lad. "Back off," with a shazak. He zaps the two men in the SWAT team and they fall to the ground in smoking heaps. "Congratulations," says Lightning Lad. "You're officially part of the problem. You're Lon Norg, aren't you? Invisible Kid's father." "Lyle Norg is my son, yes." "Well," says Lightning Lad, "last time we dealt with you, you were a middle cog in the science police. Pretty amazing that a grunt like you got himself promoted to such a lofty position in the UP in such short order. How'd you get this job, Norg? I'll bet anything that if you think about it," and Norg looked stunned, "you don't really remember. Let's go." And here we hear a bit of that Praetor Lemnos meddling in the Legion, I think, Derek.
Yes, meddling in the Legion, meddling in the science police, probably meddling in the UP government.
Absolutely. And we cross to Legion headquarters, and this time we're in Princess Projector's room. "What the hell happened to this room? This used to be regal and nice in here," says Lightlass. "Projectra, Princess, it's me, Lightlass. No need to hide, okay?" And she appears, and Lightlass says, "There you are. We haven't seen you for days, sweetie. Cos sent me up to check in on you, see how you're holding up." And she's wearing a veil over her face, covering her face, and she's like, "Has he caught the monsters who did away with my planet yet?" Lightlass says, "We have another lead. I realise you're still in mourning, honey. You've lost a lot. Let's see if we can find you some nourishment." And she reaches out to comfort her and gets slapped by Projectra, who says, "Don't touch me. You have no clue what I've lost or what I've gained." And we'll find out more about that later, I'm guessing. And we cross to Element Lad and Cosmic Boy, who are looking at some star maps. And Cosmic Boy says, Element Lad says, "There shouldn't be any gain at all, should there?" And Cosmic Boy says, "I put you in charge of Legion Treasury, Element Lad. Tell me, I assume we're bankrupt." "Well, that's the thing," he says. "The coffers are actually remarkably full, even without Projector's fortune. Was there an inheritance of some sort?" And Cosmic Boy says, "From a charred planet, I doubt it. Solve this mystery. It's one of the 9,000 pins I'm juggling. Pins? Yeah, pins I'm juggling. Pins. And my patience is exhausted." Yeah, juggling bowling pins is never a good idea.
Not 9,000.
To juggle three of them once. my toes were never the same. "Cos," says some boy, "we have to talk privately." 9,001. "What is it, Sun Boy?" And Sun Boy in his costume. I really like the juxtaposition here, Derek, of Sun Boy's costume and Element Lad's costumes. They've both got very yellow legs and red tops. I think it's
oh, yes, they have. Yes.
They look incredibly similar, actually, when they stand together. They've also both got circles on their chests. One with the sun and one with hair too. Yeah. Yeah, same colour. And so Sun Boy transforms from his costume into his civilian clothes and he says, "I've made my decision, Cos. I quit." And he hands his ring to Cos as we see Brainiac's hand tacking on another on the console. And he throws Cos the ring. Oh, no, Cos throws the ring back and he says, "You're my field leader. Denied." And the ring goes back onto his finger and his costume reappears. "I didn't phrase it as a request," says Sunboy. "I realise I may not have the best timing, but I don't want to be a Legionnaire anymore, and that's that." "Have you told anyone else yet?" says Cos. "My mum and dad, you mean," says Sunboy. "No, I'm facing today's explosions in order of reverse magnitude. I figured, as mad as you'll be, they'll be madder. I'm stuck with the only two parents in the galaxy who root for the Legion. I'm not even a son to them. I'm just an opportunity for them to relive their days as young radicals, which sucks." I'm sick of being what they or you or anyone else wants me to be. I deserve a chance to figure out my own identity before whatever's coming down on us gets too involved and too complicated. So I quit. And Coz says, I repeat, denied. I'm not going to let you do that to me. And Sunboy turns back into his civilian clothes and takes the ring off again. To you, Coz, there are 500 would-be recruits camped outside headquarters that would take this ring in a picosecond. So it isn't like you can't afford to lose me. Why are you making this personal? Why, says Coz, and he surrounds him in the, starts sort of magnetically transforming the floor and grabbing Sunboy. Because it makes me look like an idiot. How? Says Sunboy. Let me tell you something. I do not take people's confidence for granted. I've worked damn hard doing this position as Legion leader, and it's slipping away at a time when I most need to set an example. Identities? Ultra Boy gets to be an irresponsible jerkwit. Element Lad gets to be an indecisive pseudo-intellectual whose answer to everything is the oh-so-helpful. Changes are constant. Projector is a puddle of tears. Chameleon is the poisonously bitter one. And me? I'm the one everyone else counts on to make this team work. I'm the one who doesn't get to take anything for granted except faith from others that I require to do the job. And for the last 6 months, Brainiac 5 has been working so hard to undermine me that my credibility is in shambles. And if I let my second-in-command walk out on me, that will be the death blow. How will it look to everyone else if I can't even control you? And some boy starts to say, why don't you go, that came out wrong, says Coz. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just I could count on you. And they both stop talking for a second. And some boy says, Coz, how are we going to fight this war? God, says Coz, I have no idea. No one outside this room realizes how fragile the Legion really is right now. Can you imagine if the others saw me blow up like I just did? What would they think of their Legion leader then? Good question. And Coz's ring is talking and Brainy appears in a hologram out of it. Brainy? Let's ask them after all, says Brainiac 5. And we get a wide double-page spread of all the mentioned Legionnaires, and Brainiac says, they have heard every word you said. And we can see Lightning Lad and Dreamy and Dream Girl and Saturn Girl. Lightning Lad's rubbing his head. Phantom Girl has dropped her drink and Element Lad's got a look of surprise on his face. Sunboy's looking forlorn. Shadow Lass is aghast. Karate Kid and Light Lass are stunned. Triplicate Girl's raising her eyebrows. Ultra Boy's firing up his Ultra Vision. And I think it's Colossal Boy just looks stunned. So everybody knows. And Element Lad says, pseudo-intellectual. And Cosmic Boy flies through the middle of Element Lad, Light Lass and Phantom Girl and out down the passage and through the force field at Brainy's lab, except this time...
This also shows how angry Coz is because I don't think we ever see them flying down the corridors.
No, yes.
I think they're always using their feet and they only use the rings outdoors.
I think we did see, was it, who was it flying out to stop Starboy? I think it was Element Lad, wasn't it? Who was it that was not well? Ultra Boy was not well. And someone...
Oh, like, I'd expect and Ultra Boy to be flying down the corridor.
Oh, I'm thinking of the wrong version, actually, Derek. I'm thinking of the reboot. I've just realised. So you're right. This is the first time we've seen this in the reboot. So anyway, he gets to Brainy's door and instead of being able to part the force field this time, he hits it with a bam. Brainy says, I opened the flight ring transmission links. I was following your orders. My total communication between all Legionnaires at all times. Your precise words. I've intensified the force field, by the way. And save for the ineffective Ultra Boy, you'll need it. You bastard, says Coz. Who are you calling a jerkwit? Says Ultra Boy, blown in behind him as well, and he punches Koz in the back, I think. Bit of a dirty move with a wham. And I don't know, is that a force field or just magnetic powers coming out?
I reckon it's the magnetic powers.
Yeah, so Koz is using his magnetic powers and Ultra Boy is trying to pummel him and Colossal Boy reaches in from behind with a, whoa, bring it down, little fella. And he picks him up and Ultra Boy is like, oh, you know, everyone hates when you talk like that. And he uses his ultra vision, his ultra flash vision and burns Colossal Boy's hand and it's going shh and Colossal Boy goes, ah. And I think this is our cover scene. And Cosmic Boy is being sort of picked up by Saturn Girl and Ultra Boy says, Cosmic Boy says, you're siding with Brainiac? Ultra Boy says, I'm siding with whoever kicks your ass, you smug. And Saturn Girl says, super strength off. Lightning Lad. And Lightning Lad with a kazak zaps Ultra Boy. Leave my friend alone. And Karate Kid comes in. What did you do to him? And Saturn Girl says, or thinks, shunted his powers telepathically. And Karate Kid says, he's not your puppet. Where do you get off walking around inside his head?
I like the fact that the founders are united in this.
Yeah. Yeah, and their friendship, which we don't know a lot about, actually, at this point.
No, because we never really see an origin story for this version. But, yeah, just the fact that these three, no matter what has happened, they're sticking together at this matter.
Yeah, and aligning. So Colossal Boy reaches in towards Karate Kid and he says, at least she cops to it. Your pal Brainy likes to sneak into our minds. And Karate Kid says to Colossal Boy, I'd pull that hand back if I were you. And Colossal Boy says, or what? And with a mighty karate chop, he punches Colossal Boy through the wall of Legion headquarters and out into Legion, into the plaza. And Cosmic Boy comes up to the force field at Brainy's lab door and says, of all the stupid petty stunts, this would be no time to be divisive, you egotistical sociopath. Divisive, says Brainiac 5. Interesting choice of pejoratives. True or false, you use Triplicate Girl as a spy to uncover private information about the other Legionnaires. It wasn't private, says Cosmic Boy. And we cross to Starboy, who's holding Karate Kid down. Go on, take another swing, Karate Kid, says Starboy. Too bad you weigh 600 pounds now. And Shadow Lass comes up behind Starboy. Too bad you can't see what's in front of your face. Hey, and she covers his face in her black shadows. Then again, she says, you never could. That's why Cosmic Boy recruited you to be his apologist.
Oh, it's all coming out now.
It sure is. And Brainy says, yes or no? You intentionally took advantage of my recent absence to raid my lab rather than simply ask for my cooperation. Cosmic Boy said, I asked a dozen times, but you collaborate only when it suits you. How is this creating better cooperation, Brainy? Is this your idea of leadership? And we get another splash page, and this time it's all the Legionnaires fighting with each other. And we've got Lightning Lad going up against Shadow Lass. We've got Colossal Boy and Dream Girl fighting. We've got Saturn Girl, not sure who she's controlling. We've got Triplicate Girl taking on Karate Kid. We've got Sun Boy and Element Lad using their powers on each other. And we've got Star Boy and Ultra Boy facing off. Brainy says they had to choose sides eventually, Cosmic Boy. Stop viewing it as a betrayal. That not all of us think like you. Thank the stars. Believe it or not, I want us to be a team, but I also want to save millions of lives. And if that divides us, well, better that some of us succeed following me than all of us fail following you. You did your best, but I've always known you could only get the Legion so far. I'm sorry. Cosmic Boy is powering up and he says, stop. Everybody's rings turn off.
No, I think he's magnetized them. and he's sticking them to walls and floors.
Oh, yes, you're right. He is too. So yeah. He's taking control of the rings, so they're all being pulled to the floor or the walls, and they're going tock, 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 tock as they're clicking into place. Says Brainy. And there's a message on the view screen that says, "Urgent from United Planets. Stop this," says Cosmic Boy. And Ultra Boy says, "Like I'm listening to you." And Cosmic Boy says, "Fine, great. Do whatever the hell you want. I'm not your mother. Those of you who want to be in Brainy's Legion, be my guests. The rest of you are welcome to follow me." And Brainy says, "I'm afraid that's not going to be possible. We've just received word of another secession from the United Planets." Cosmic Boy turns to him. "Damn it, which world now?" And Brainy says, "Yours. In 6 hours, Braal is officially sealing its borders. Any Braalian who isn't planet side at that time will be in permanent exile. Give my regards to your family." And we get the "to be continued" box. And
that's continued. The end of our issue. Okay, I've obviously got confused with next issue, which I was flipping through. That must be where Triplicate Girl says some odd things. So we'll get to that next episode.
Well, I even think the way she acted in this one was a bit odd, because the reality was she was definitely conspiring with Colossal Boy, with Cosmic Boy. So
yeah,
maybe she's just pretending not to in this issue. But yeah, look, I think it's it was an interesting issue in terms of the artwork. I think it was lacking some of that. I think the artist did a really good job. I think he was a really good artist, but I think we were losing some of that sort of ultra realism that we get with Kitson.
Yes.
And I think I'm not sure if changing the colorist and the inker was the best idea, to be honest. Although it was Kitson, is Kitson inking a lot of his own stuff?
I can't remember.
No, me either. But this artist has a bit of an air of Chris Batista about him, actually. I don't know if you thought that as well, but there were certainly some headshots and things that reminded me a little bit of his art. I don't know a lot about this Sharp at all, Kevin Sharp. So I'm not very familiar with his art. I'm wondering if he's drawn for another company. More than decent.
I've just gone back to a previous issue or two, and Wade and Kitson are usually credited as storytellers with somebody else doing finishes.
Okay.
But that might be the inking. I don't know. There's definitely a colorist list.
I would think so, Derek. Usually that's what that means. Because usually they put in, if it was a finishing scripting, it's usually dialogue.
Yes.
They dialogue by, which was Tom and Mary Beerbohm's big gig with Giffen. I was also reflecting on the interview we read back in episode one, where Wade sort of talked about this book being accessible to all ages. I really don't see that. I think his vocab, like the way he, you know, pseudo-intellectual and all the, you know, the way he's describing the characters and their relationships, you know. Someone says pejoratives at one point. I'm thinking, I don't know many children under 12 who would find that very accessible. they might be able to read the fight scene, but I'm not sure that they'd understand why everyone's feeling insulted.
So I'm guessing that nowadays it'd get a teen plus on the cover or something like that to indicate a reading age.
Yeah, which would be helpful, I think, for this book. But and I guess, look, in fairness, Wade's an old fan himself, and not saying he's old, but he's been a fan for a long time, and he was probably, you know, very much trying to recreate the Legion, but also keep the old readership. So I'm sure he was trying to cater to both. In lots of ways, but I think it's certainly leaning to an older audience. Which post reboot may not have been a bad thing, because that was definitely leaning younger. So maybe it was a good way to change it. Because I don't know about you, but I'd had enough of the Archie Legion by then.
I was out by that stage. I was out just as the Legion of the Damned was starting up.
Yes.
It wasn't Legion of the Damned that made me decide. It was what had been going on for the last 6 or 8 months.
Oh, yeah. And I'm probably talking about the period before that. Was where I switched off when we had CC Beck and, you know, the Shazam Thunder character. I just lost interest. I don't know. The art wasn't grabbing me. The stories weren't grabbing me. I was buying it, but it was one of those books that I'd often just leave and wouldn't read and would sit in the reading pile for a long time and then I'd flick through it rather than reading it in detail. But I did come back for the Abnett and Lanning stuff and quite enjoyed that. But even that I found initially a bit jarring. But I think this version I'm loving. I'm absolutely loving where this is going. And I look forward to what's coming up soon because it's going to take a bit of a it's going to shift a gear in about 5 issues. So we will get to that when we get there. But Derek, it's been great again. We'll be back this time next week. And hopefully the Grand Prix noise will have died down a little bit here in Melbourne and life will be back to normal just in time for Easter, which will be nice. You doing anything nice for Easter, Derek?
I've got a family lunch on Good Friday and then the rest of the time is mine to do with as I choose.
Fantastic.
And no plans.
Fantastic. And you're taking a bit of a break, you were telling me offline as well.
Oh, yes. So I worked yesterday, which was Saturday, and now I have the next 2 weeks off. So I'm not going back to work until the first full week after Easter.
Oh, fantastic. So
my first plan is on Monday, I'm going to see Dune. Oh, I rewatched the first pass last night. And yes, I'll be off to the movies on Monday.
Yay, I must add that to my list of things to do. I'm really looking forward to seeing part two of that and definitely in a cinema with a very wide screen.
Yes.
Would be the way to see it. Yeah, no, really looking forward to it. Have you watched Foundation at all on Apple TV?
I have watched the first series. Yes. I haven't yet got round to the second series. I found the first series rather disjointed. And I found it difficult to get into the various characters. But several people have told me that the second series is much better. So I've got it on my list of things to watch. It just hasn't made it to the top of the list yet.
Yeah, it's in some ways not. I think it's probably more impenetrable than this version of the Legion. But I think it certainly suffers from being a bit too intellectual at times. But it's quite beautiful. I think I really like the cinematography and the world building that they've done. It's got some interesting sort of side stories in season two. So I'd stick with it. I'd persevere with that one. I think you will enjoy it.
Yep, I plan to. I'm watching Shogun at the moment.
Yes,
I'm really enjoying that.
I will get to that one too. It's on my list. I've got a few things that have been recommended. Terrific. All right. Well, I might get you to take us out, Derek.
Absolutely. So remember, guys, you can send us your thoughts at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. And we're also on Facebook at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, where you can join in the conversation. We're on X as LOSP Podcast, and we're also on Blue Sky as LOSP Podcast. And as well as all of this, there's the website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, where you can leave a comment on this or any other episode. And so we're going to get back in the time bubble. Where did you park time bubble, Brent? Oh, I think someone's left the autopilot on. Okay, we're going to have to take Ron Bedard's time cube instead. What does it say on this button? End of time? Let's press it and see what happens. See you all next week. Hopefully.
Eat it, Grandpa.